Yo, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to this week's episode of Can I Kick It? I was about to mess up and say River City 93 because the intros for both podcasts are exactly the same because I'm too lazy to change it. But regardless about the fact, we have another season preview to bring you guys. We've already done La Liga. We've done the Bundesliga. We've done Ligue 1. Now we talk about the boot of European football, Serie A. We bought no one other than Nicole on. The only Serie A fan on the show to talk to. So, Nicole, how are you doing, homie?
I'm doing good. I'm very excited to be here. I'm very happy that you reached out to me. So, listen, anytime that I can talk about Serie A, I'll always take it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I would be lying if I said there's 1,000 Serie A fans that I'm aware of and know of. You are the one, and you are the most passionate one that I know. So, of course, I had to bring you on. Of course. Before we get started, I want to ask you a question. You're a big NYC Red Bulls fan and everything. Is Serie A like a really big league up there in New York? Like, is it really big?
I will say Serie A is pretty big in New York. I think it's just starting to, like, I think they're taking the steps to get as big as like the Bundesliga and Premier League. Like they, I know the Serie A off like the corporation, the group, they opened an office in New York City. So I feel like they're going to be doing more outreach, like more USA outreach. The AC Milan club of New York is pretty big too. Like they got featured on, was a CBS Sports Golasso, like they filmed like a watch party. So I think it's getting bigger. It's already big, but I think it's getting bigger.
Oh wow, that's what's up. That's pretty huge. So real quick, can you just explain to us how do you become an AC Milan fan?
I'm trying to think. It's not glamorous or like some awe-inspiring story like I feel like a lot of people have. Mine was basically, I think it was back in like 2010, 2011. My brother was getting really into playing FIFA and he would always play as AC Milan. So I would hear AC Milan like all the time. It was also around the time of the 2010 World Cup as well, as when I was like really, really getting into soccer. And so I was like, well, I guess I'll just make AC Milan my team. And little did I know, 2010 was going to be, it was the beginning. It was like the beginning of the end for AC Milan in many ways. So it was like the perfect time to become a fan.
Not going to lie, it sounds like very much me and Manchester United, because 2014, I decided to become a fan. Not knowing the history of Man United, all the good and winning that happened. And then, yeah, everything's been downhill ever since.
And then as soon, it's like that that scene from Community when I forget his character's name, but Childish Gambino is like walking in with the pizza, yeah, and it's like everything's on fire.
Yes. Look, 2014, I swore up and down. I was like, oh, Louis Van Gaal is a great man because I saw him in the World Cup, and I was like, oh yeah, we get this guy, this guy. Yeah. Yeah, that fun times. Oh
no.
But yeah, we probably talk about everything. So I guess the first thing we should start off is talking about a real quick recap of what happened last year. AC Milan wins the Scudetto, winning it off of previous winners, Inter Milan. Juventus had a downturn, Roma wins the Europa Conference League. Did last year kind of feel like Serie A was kind of getting back to its normal levels? Because I'm not going to lie, like, I watched a couple of games and I was like, oh, this is a fun league, minus all the off the field stuff.
Oh, 100%. I felt like for the first time in a very long time that Serie A was fun again, because it wasn't Juve winning or dominating the entire season. It really felt like very competitive, actually.
Yeah,
and I think that this upcoming season is going to be even more competitive. So this is like a good season to really get into Serie A. That's just my feeling though. but last season, obviously as a Milan fan, it was a good season for me. Cause you know, we were the underdogs. Our team, like underdogs in the sense of like, you know, we are like one of the bigger teams in Serie A, but our biggest name was for a while was Zlatan Ibrahimovic. That was like our biggest name. I mean, we do have Tomori as well and Giroud from Chelsea, but for all intents and purposes, Zlatan was our superstar, which I think if you look at it surface level, that's kind of saying a lot because he's, you know, a bit up there in age, even though he is an amazing player. And I really don't think anyone expected, especially with the lineup that we had, no one really expected Milan to win the Scudetto. I think a lot of people thought it was going to be Inter taking it again. And there was a lot of times where it really looked like Inter was going to take it, especially because they had won, they had like the domestic treble. Well, they won the Coppa Italia and then they won, I forget the name, but they won the other domestic title. Yes, they won Supercoppa, Coppa Italia, and they were really gunning for the treble, but we took it away from them. And I think it was a really amazing transformation to watch from being like a team of like what people considered nobodies to having, to not only winning the Scudetto, but we had Player of the Year, Rafael Leao, who is a 19-year-old from Portugal, and everyone clowned us. When I tell you everyone clowned us for picking up this like nobody player, they really clowned us. And he ended up getting Player of the Year and was being like, you had teams like Man City who wanted to take him away from us. they were willing to drop like 100, like they were offering like 120 million. But fortunately for us, he has 150 million buyout clause. So yeah, we had Player of the Year, we had Manager of the Year, we had Goalkeeper of the Year as well. Was another person who people thought we were out of our mind for getting, Mike Maignan. He played for Lille and played for PSG, and every team that he's played on in the French league, League One, is it? I always forget. I'm really bad at this. But every team that he played on, when he was playing on the French league, they won the league. So, and especially because before him was Donnarumma, and you know, he's the he's been called up all the time for the Italian national team, and got signed to PSG, and it was pretty good. Like, he got a good deal out of it. But again, people thought we were kind of crazy picking up this goalkeeper that no one really knew from the French league. And he ended up getting Goalkeeper of the Year, and he got nominated for not a Ballon d'Or, but like the one he got nominated for the keeper award that's like for goalkeepers. But yeah, and also Leao got nominated for a Ballon d'Or. So it's like, imagine being 19, your breakout season, like really your breakout season, you get nominated for a Ballon d'Or.
That's I gotta imagine that's pretty dope. I will say this, I did see the title celebration where y'all won it against Sassuolo, and I just I love the scene of Zlatan walking out there with that cigar in his mouth. He's just like, I've done it. I've won another league title. I've came back. What are your expectations for Milan this year? Champions League's there now. You guys have the title. You guys are kind of leading the pack. What's the expectation for AC Milan this year?
I would love to see – I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I'm always like a – like league title over European title. I don't know. I feel like that for me, I think it's because I'm partial to Serie A. I would prefer to see league title more than European title. I am nervous about Champions League just because, you know, last year we got put in the group of death. It was like us, Liverpool, Atletico Madrid, and I forget the other, the other team. But they were, it was the group of death, and it was a really hard, it was a really hard group to make it out of. But getting out of, when we got kicked out, it was like a blessing and a curse because we were able to focus more on the league. I think just based on the state of affairs, looking at other teams and the level like of players that they are able to get, not saying that Milan isn't good. I just think it's going to be a really, really tough Champions League is going to be really tough for us.
Yeah, I can imagine. So, I mean, I would love to see AC Milan get back there and start challenging for European titles again. But like you said, I feel like Italy more than any other league is like winning the Scudetto is like on par of winning the European title. Like, it's cared about that much there.
Yeah, it's big. And I think for us, we do the where it's like you every 10 Scudettos that you get, that's when you get a star over the crest. And right now, both Inter and Milan have 19. So, which again, it's going to make this season even that much more interesting, is that we have two teams, especially two teams from the same city, that are gunning for their 20th Scudetto. They really want that second star. And so to have that star, it's like, I think it's a better, like not better, but I think it's there's more pride in that star than there really is like for Europe. But it could just be me and like my bias.
Nah, I feel you. You wouldn't give it over your eyes. Talking about your rivals, let's go ahead and let's talk about them. Inter Milan.
Yes.
Not a down year, perhaps. I mean, they did sell their striker because they had to generate money, but they still, like you said, they won Coppa Italia, they won the Supercoppa, finished second in the league. What are your unbiased thoughts on Inter Milan and how do you think they will do this year?
I think based off of last year, they, like, again, looking at this non-bias, I think that they actually had, I think if you compare it to any other team in the entire world, they had a good season. They came in second. They were only separated by 2 points. They won 2 other domestic titles. By every other, like, by every other metric, they did very well. I do think it was a tough, last season it was a bit of a tough adjustment, because, you know, they lost their coach. They were adjusting to a new coach. They made a bunch of mistakes here and there that really cost them the title. But overall, they did pretty well. It's hard to win a title and then you lose a key player, like you lose a player who was key, who was a very big key in getting that title, and then also your coach dipped out as well. That's a really hard thing to come back from, and for them to be in second place, only losing by 2 points and winning those 2 titles, they did very well. They did very well. Like I said before, are they hungry for that second star? 100%. They want it really, really badly.
Oh yeah, I imagine you have to be, because there's no way you want your rival AC Milan to beat you and get on top of you. Because if there's any owner that I know in Serie A, is Inter Milan's owner, and I know he's like batshit crazy. I know he is. Real quick, look, I want to ask you this, because of course you go through it in an array of emotions. But the Milan Derby is one of the most fascinating derbies out there. This team teams share a stadium. I know there've been talks about AC Milan getting their own and Inter getting their own, but what I find so unique and interesting about this derby is that even though they share the same stadium, they literally changed the name for the stadium depending on who's playing at home. Which is unique. Why did they do that?
It's like it's because you know the pride of I think it's because I think it's not only the pride of the team, but it's also like you're it's like imagine going to a stadium where that's like owned by your like direct rival, and it's like you're seeing all their stuff everywhere, like every rem, you know what I mean? It's like you don't want any remnant of your rival there, even though you share the same stadium. Inter versus Milan, it's one of the world's most highly contested, like most intense rivalries in the world. And there's a level of passion there that there's a level of passion there that you can't have any, you just can't have any trace of either team there. So.
I understand it. I get it. It's just, you know, I know when that derby come on, I'm like, all right, forget everything else I'm doing. I gotta watch this. Because it's like, even when the teams were bad, they were still really, really fun to watch.
Yeah, and I know that the the supporter groups, the ultras for these teams are, you know, for lack of better words, they're kind of the blueprint for the rest of the world. And I'm saying that with my full chest because Milan the Curva Sud is the oldest ult. In fact, they're the first ultras in the they're the first ultras in the entire world. And so they really set the standard. They set the blueprint. And when if even if you're watching a game like on TV or like streaming it or whatever, you feel the intensity and the energy from Curva Sud, from the ultras from either team. And you can really feel it. And it makes the game day experience, even if you're just watching it through your laptop, makes it that much more like fun and electric, you know?
Yeah, it does. It does. And it makes it so much more fascinating. So the team that I want to talk to, but the team that AC Milan and Inter Milan are kind of like, we glad you suck right now, because if not, you will definitely have 4 stars is Juventus. And they had a
Yes.
wow year, you know, with Allegri coming back, Kulusevski's gone, of course Ronaldo left. But it just seems as if Juve is in this weird, I wouldn't say weird period, but they went through this period where they were getting to the Champions League final. Of course, they didn't get over the hump, but they were trying to be one of those elite teams in Europe. And when they realized, like, all right, this isn't financially stable, let's reset. And now it seems like they're slowly starting to get back to their peak. Is that kind of right how to describe Juve?
I would say so. They're, you know, for a while they were like the Bayern Munich of Serie A, where they were just, you know, it was like death, taxes, and Juve winning the Scudetto. You know, it was just a constant thing. Last year was actually the first year since I want to say 2010, 2011, was the first year that they did not win any like silverware. Like they took nothing home.
That
And
was
I think that
crazy.
really hit,
I couldn't believe that.
yeah. It really like hit hard for them. And so, you know, also to put into perspective, Dybala was their top goal scorer, and he only I think he was at like 10 goals the entire season. Which is still good. I'm not knocking that. That's still good. Before a team like Juventus, the kind of that pedigree that they have, the history that they have, is not that good, you know? And I think a lot of their, you can even see it in their style of play. It's almost like a remnant of the old times. Like it is, I think it, like in general, Serie A is a very defensive heavy style. But I think Juve was like painfully defensive, and their style was a bit outdated. They haven't really modernized all that much, though I am hopeful for this new season that they're kind of learning from their mistakes, because they're like, we don't want to be at like we don't want to be not at the bottom, because they were only like what in fourth. But for the like a team that has that status of Juve, that'd be like if Bayern Munich came in fourth place. They don't want to be in fourth, considering their history. They don't want to be in fourth. But I do think in 2020, the beginning of last season, so 2021, they were kind of put in a really, they were put in a very difficult position because Ronaldo left, whether you love him or hate him, you know, Ronaldo left like right at the end of the transfer market deadline, which left them like nobody, like they have not nobody, but they left them with like no time to find another, to find a replacement. So that kind of left them like a bit like in a, between a rock and a hard place. But yeah, and also this was a season that was plagued with injuries. Their top, a lot of their top players were injured. You know, McKenny, I think it was towards the end of the season. He had a pretty bad, he had a pretty bad injury from, what was it? I'm trying to think. It was either during a Serie A game or it was during one of the qualifiers. But I know that McKenny had a bad injury, and that was, it was a, it was not a good, like, it was not a good time for the team. But I think they're trying to, I think they're going through a, like, a restructuring. Because like you said before, you know, to get to that, like, level that they were, you had to splash a lot of cash. And they wanted to be at that level. And a lot of Serie A teams in general were going through, like, really hard financial times. Like overspending, and that was a big part of Milan's decline was the spending and the restructuring and having to work with relatively limited resources. But I do think that Juve, with the re-signing of Pogba, I think once Pogba is healthy and McKenny is like really, really in form, I think we're going to see kind of like, we're going to see glimmers of the old Juve, but it's not really the old Juve. It's the new, it's the modernized Juve who wants to compete for another Scudetto and just, or any silverware really.
I will say this though. It feels as if Juve can have like the oldest center back pairing, no demand, it still be dominated defense. Like both of these center backs are very old, very slow, and they're still like able to beat people, which is weird to me. I think the biggest thing about Juve was the releasing of Mateus De Ligt. It seemed like when Juve bought him, they bought him in to be the replacement for the Chiellini. We know Chiellini left in Sibiu to join LAFC. Why didn't Mateus kind of work out of Juve? Was it too big for him, or did he not just kind of settle in with the Juve style?
I feel like from just watching, because I don't really know that much about him, but kind of watching him, the little that I did watch him, I don't feel like he really fit into the Juve style. It's a bit of a difficult, not difficult, you know, like with any team that you go to, every team is going to have a different style. It's just sometimes, like sometimes players just don't work out, you know? And I feel like with that, he just didn't really work out with the team dynamics, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I can understand that. It's just, when I saw that he was getting sent to Bayern Munich, I was just kind of like, man, I remember, like, you were, like, 19 and so there, and you were supposed to be, like, the next world's greatest defender. But, as you're right, maybe it's just not working
out. Listen, it's like when people, it's like, you know, you see it all the time, too, where people, players who excel in the Bundesliga get sent to the Premier League and they kind of fizzle out. And it's just, you know, the adjustment, the playing style. Some people really thrive in certain leagues and some people don't. That's why I was, I'm always saying, like, I feel like Pulisic would do, they should send him to Serie A because I feel like he would really thrive. I don't know why, but I feel like he would really thrive in,
no, I mean, the, you're probably in the league. Right. Like, I feel like what, I don't want to talk about America too much on this podcast, but I feel like the thing about Pulisic is he's, one of the things describes the best is he's very pacey. He's very quick with a lot of the things that he do. And I feel like in a Premier League where 9 out of the 10 players on the field that you're going to go against are the same type of profile as you, you're kind of canceling yourself out. Whereas Serie A is probably like 4 to 10 or something like that. It's a lot lower because the Serie A is doing more as a defensive technical league. And that's the part where Pulisic probably need to grow his game back. But I'm a miss. I fall back on it. So another team that's going through a lot of changes. Well, finished fourth and not finished fourth, finished third. But they've lost a lot of key parts. And I don't know how to judge them. Gosh. I know their owner is fair enough to say
not the best. Highly at best, highly problematic.
at best, highly problematic. It's Napoli. They lost Insigne, Dries Mertens, Koulibaly. But it seems like what Napoli is doing is they're bringing in a lot of young talent in behind that. Can Napoli finally get over the hump? Because that seems like that's the issue. They can't get over the hump.
So my thing is that I feel like, can they get over the hump? I think it's a little too early to really kind of make that judgment. I need to see them. I need to see a couple more games. I need to see a game at least, like, not even a game against, like, Milan, Inter, or Juve, or even Roma. I need to see a game, like, against Fiorentina or Atalanta. Because those teams, like, those mid-table teams, those can make or break your Scudetto chances. That's why they have the hashtag Atalanta Challenge. Because Atalanta is a pretty difficult team to beat. Even though they're always pretty solidly like Europa League, mid-table, like them being fifth is pretty low for them. But they always do really well. They're one of the more difficult teams to beat. So I feel like for me, I need to see them, this new team, play against like a team like Fiorentina or a team like Atalanta to really make that judgment call.
Okay. I just feel like with Napoli, and I feel like there's always this one team in the league that we kind of always remiss or talk about of where they kind of seem to focus season by season just on one competition, depending on how they're doing. So it's like one year they'll focus on Europe, the next year they'll focus on the Cup, the next year they'll focus on the league. For Napoli this year, is the focus on increasing that setup? Because you finished third, do they have enough to go to second? Or they're like, all right, let's focus more on the European and these Cups and the league.
Well, I felt like for them to come, like there was times in the season, like this past season, where they were first, like they were first in the league, which was like pretty big. It was pretty big for Napoli. I mean, anybody, but for them, it was big. But I think what happened was, so like very, very early on, they were killing it. They were like, they did not have a loss until week 13. So they were on fire. However, what really hurt them was AFCON. But I do want to point out because I just want to point that out because like it wasn't like AFCON was a turning point for them. It's not always a turning point for other teams. I'm very, you know, pro. Please, I like AFCON. It's like one of the most like fun. It's one of the most like fun. Like, was it champ? Not championships. Like it's one of the most like fun things to watch. It was really, especially like when Senegal won. Yeah. But anyways, for them, it was hard because a lot of their best players and like top goal scorers were out. Because Koulibaly was out. Who was it? There was four players in total who were out. It was I'm gonna mispronounce his name. Oh my god, it was Osimhen, and then Ioannis, and I'm trying to think. I can't even read my own handwriting either. But it was they had like four of their best players out. And then I believe like not some of them got injured. I don't remember. I don't think it was Koulibaly that got injured, or maybe it was Koulibaly, but I know some of them got injured during the tournament, they got injured. So for them to be out going to the tournament and they get injured during the tournament. It was a really big blow for Napoli. Just like Koulibaly leaving to Chelsea was a really big blow for Napoli. Him going to AFCON was a huge, like, I was like, it's kind of hard for us right now. though, you know, I don't think it's, so I think after that point too, it was kind of like they were up, AFCON season, and then they kind of just declined. They were not doing too hot. Not that I blame, I just want to make it clear, I don't blame AFCON as like, I'm not like the owner.
Nah, I ain't gonna lie. When this baby came out, we were all like, you sure? Are you sure,
dude? I was surprised. I was like, I mean, it's only like, what, it's a biannual, so it's like every 2 years.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's not even, it's I'm like, maybe you said.
Like, yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it's not even, yeah, it's like every 2-4 years, you send out your team like once a week for Champions League, and that's for a European, like that's for a European title. But granted, it's the whole team, but like, but still, they still have like, your team still has like just as much chance of, you know, getting tired out, not being in form for the league game, and getting injured during Champions League. So it's like, I feel like these statements are coming from the fact that it's AFCON, yeah, and not like you're trying to protect like an investment.
Right. Or, you know, Adorna could do, what she should do is sign quality depth, but I've remiss.
Exactly.
A team that probably doesn't have that issue, that a lot of people found a lot of fun because of a particular manager, Roma, Jose Mourinho. What are you expecting from Roma this year? Because me personally, I have a sneaky prediction for them.
Really? I feel my prediction for them, I have a couple predictions for them.
I don't think
they're going to get the Scudetto. I don't think they're a Scudetto contender because they're in their, but I say that because they're in their second year of Mourinho. I know a lot of people say second year is when Mourinho really flourishes, but I think for this team, for this league, it's going to take at least another year or so for them to really be at like, okay, they're like a serious, serious Scudetto contender. But also knowing the way the universe works, I could be eating my words next. It's like this May 2023. But I think that they're on fire right now. They won their first European title since 2008, I want to say. And they haven't won a Scudetto since 2001. So my prediction for them, I think at the very least, they're going to be making Champions League.
Ooh, okay. So for me, I think Jose focuses on, I think he focuses on the Coppa Italia. I think he gets the Coppa Italia this year. I can see it happening.
I can totally see him like starting off like by targeting like other titles, like other domestic titles, other European titles, and like not so much focusing on the Scudetto, and kind of slowly building from there. Cause it's like, it's a bit of a more of a attainable goal to win the Coppa Italia or the Supercoppa than it is to be like, we're going to be Scudetto contenders, you know? Yeah. But I think what, obviously with having Mourinho at the helm, I think that a Tammy Abraham, Paulo Dybala, as you know, as forwards, that's gonna be deadly. That's gonna be really hard. That's gonna be like a sneak attack this entire season.
Are you familiar? Like, how did they convince Paulo Dybala to come to Roma? Because when he left Juve, I was for certain, like, all right, he's going to go to like a top 10 team. Not saying Roma aren't that, but like he's gonna go somewhere to like a PSV or to like a mid table English side, like. I was not expecting Roma. What made him convinced to go to Roma?
I think it was the power of Mourinho, just his like charm or lack of. I don't know. I think it was the Mourinho charm that kind of sold him. I feel like you know, for before Mourinho was signed to Roma, and even with his signing to Roma, it was kind of like Mourinho's done. He's washed. You know, he got signed to this, like, to this team that, like, hasn't won anything since, like, the 2000s, you know? And so everyone thought that, like, Mourinho was finished. So I feel like for him, it's kind of like a rebuilding project, not just for himself, but also for the city, and like kind of revitalizing a team that a lot of people thought were kind of done, like finished. I think they actually sold their like highest number of season tickets this year since 2004. So he is bringing like the passion for this team back. And I think you're right. I think he's going to target like domestic titles or like smaller European titles rather than like going for the whole shebang, number one. Yeah. But I also know too that I think Dybala was caught a little bit off guard because I think he was like, I think everyone thought that he was going to go to Inter, Yeah, everyone thought he was going to go to Inter, and which is not, that's a pretty good team to go to considering that they won the Scudetto and they were only 2 points behind us. So like everybody and their mother thought he was going to go to Inter, and then Inter were able to get Lukaku back for a season. But this is my like hot take. I think that Inter should have used that space and resources to sign Dybala rather than getting Lukaku on loan.
Okay.
And I only say that because the loan for Lukaku is only for one season and there's no option to buy. Whereas for Dybala, they would have had him for a couple of years.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe Inter is thinking like maybe you can convince Lukaku to come back here after that loan because he's probably going to be done with Chelsea. But we'll see. Before we move on to our next thing, let's talk about Florentina, Atalanta, and Lazio. What are your thoughts on them? How are they going to do this year?
I'm trying to think. So I know that. There was, who was the player's name? There was a Milan player who went to Lazio, and I think that he's going to absolutely kill it there because he's going to get more playing time. I didn't focus too much on Lazio, but I don't think they're going to be, I think they're going to be essentially in the same place that they were last year. They didn't really make any, like, considerably like notable signings. So I think they're going to be mid-table, maybe Europa League, but definitely mid-table. Same with Fiorentina. And what was the other team?
we talked about Atalanta, Lazio, and Florentina.
Atalanta, I didn't really check out too much of their transfer, how their transfer season went. But I do know that this is their first time in a couple years that they're not in Europa League or Champions League. So I think this will be a good season for them to like really work hard on trying to get any like domestic titles. So they don't have any of like the European conferences to worry about. So I definitely can see Atalanta being a little bit more of a threat in terms of like domestic titles.
Okay. Also, you got probably your favorite cup competition, the Coppa Italia, we were just talking about. It just kicked off, what, maybe like a week or two ago, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not that long ago.
I always feel like with the Coppa Italia, like there's maybe two or three weird upsets that happens in it, but then don't worry when you get to the end of the competition, it's kind of like the same thing you kind of expect. What makes the Coppa Italia such a fun competition to kind of watch it? What's a good game coming up that fans might want to check out for?
I'm trying to think. There was, what was it? There was a, what do you think? I think what makes it fun is that, you know how it's like in the sense of like, what makes it fun is the, you know how like the US Open Cup, it's like all, essentially like all levels of soccer getting to play against teams that they normally wouldn't play against. The Coppa Italia is kind of like, it's kind of the same, is in the same boat, I will say. Not as extensive, but you know, you have teams, it's like teams from Serie C, Serie B, and Serie A. It's like all Serie A, all Serie B, and a couple Serie C teams. And you know, you're getting to see them play against each other when you normally wouldn't. So that's always really fun. I
I want to
think,
ask you
trying to think, if
more.
there are any.
No, I want to ask you this. Do you think AC Milan is, do they have the capability in the squad depth to get the double? Being you're an AC Milan fan, I just want to ask you. Can they get the double?
I don't want to jinx it. Also, based on how we played in the based on how we, based on how we played in these domestic cup title domestic tournaments, I don't think that we are, just because I feel like, this is my intuition, is I feel like Milan is more focused on getting another Scudetto. And I feel like that was our thing last year, was that we were like, say we, but Milan was focused on getting that league title. And I don't feel like that they put too much effort, or not effort, but I don't think they put too much focus on it. So I don't think that they're gonna get. If they do, it'll be a surprise to me, and I'll be very happy. But yeah.
Before we get to the very fun part of the show, let's take a moment. You probably saw the picture already pop up, but take a moment to talk about Serie B. And I feel like Serie B, to me personally, it's probably the hardest league to stay promoted out of. Because I feel like a lot of teams they get promoted from, they go straight back down. And if you get stuck in Serie B, it's very fortunate that you can go into like debt very easily. What's going on with the Serie B? Because I feel like teams like Palmeiras, Parma, there was another team, I can't think of. I can see their badge. It was like the elephant with the ball on it. It
What's it? Is
started
it
named Bari with
Bari?
a C. No,
Oh, the
not well,
C.
Bars another. Yeah, it started with a C. I can't think of the name of it.
Was
But
it Crem? No, because they're Serie A now. I was gonna say Cremonese, but they're Serie A now. I'm trying to think, who
I
was
find the team,
it?
I'm gonna blurt it out. You can know exactly what I'm talking
Yes.
about. But what makes Serie B so difficult, like for teams to stay financially profitable in?
I don't think, I don't believe, I'll have to do more research on it, but I don't believe that Serie A, like just Italian football in general, has the same financial structure that that the Premier League does. Like, you know, like when teams get like relegated, they get like a certain amount of money. There also isn't, in terms of like streaming and all that stuff, it's just like mile, it's like miles apart, you know. There, the streaming is not on the same level. I was like some weird rules about like posting highlights and everything. There's a lot of, I would say there's a lot of bureaucracy within Serie A B that do, that does prevent teams from being more profitable. And the emphasis on it just isn't there as much. Like the emphasis on Serie A B, like outside of Italy, it just isn't there in the same way that the emphasis is on like Serie A. Like Serie A is a very global, like a lot of people know it, watch it. Whereas Serie B is kind of, that's where the bad teams, that's where the bad teams in Serie A go. You know, that's kind of like what kind of people know Serie B for, unless you have like some like regional allegiance to a certain team. There just isn't as much promotion. Like at least like with Championship and Premier League, it's streamed on, it's like they have streaming on ESPN Plus. It's kind of treat, I feel like it's not treated in the same way, but I find that the disparity between Premier League and Championship is nowhere near as wide as it is between Serie A and Serie B.
Okay. I found the team name, Cantanita?
Cantanita. I gotta look it up because I feel like I can see it in my head. But, and that's the thing, I feel like Serie B, there's more teams too.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams that I remember being in Serie A, and then you look, you're like, oh, you're in Serie C now. Oh, you're in Serie
B. Yeah.
It's crazy. It's insane to really think of it, all that stuff. So I think now we get to the fun part where you give me your wild, crazy predictions, and we'll see whether they come true or not. So I would ask you this. With teams, because I think this year for Serie A, three teams get promoted and three teams get relegated. Make sure I write it out. Yeah, three. So what three teams do you think get relegated from Serie A?
Ooh, relegated? I think it's going to be I don't know how to pronounce it, but Salernitana. I think they're going to get relegated. Ooh, okay. I think it's going to be Sampdoria. And I couldn't choose between Hellas Verona and Spezia. I would say between Salernitana, Sampdoria, and Spezia. They were three teams last year who were like fighting relegation. Like it was as intense the fight was for the Scudetto, equally as intense to not be relegated. But so there were three teams last year who didn't do well. So that's why it doesn't seem like they're making any kind of steps where I can be like, okay, they're doing better. I have hope for them. I did put Hellas Verona there. I couldn't decide between Spezia and Hellas Verona just because Hellas Verona, they did abysmal in the first round of Coppa Italia. They didn't do so well during their first game against Napoli. So I'm not that hopeful about them. I would like to see them turning it around, and I can see them turning it around, but I just wanted to like throw that one in there because they're not looking too hot right now.
Okay. Okay. Which three teams get promoted from Serie B?
So I think this is gonna be Palermo's year. I think they're finally gonna come to Serie A again.
Okay. Okay.
And it'll be nice because they're like their pink kits are like they're always done so well. So it'll be nice to see them in Serie A with those pink kits. I really think that they're gonna be the ones to they're gonna make it this year. Okay. I also think that Regina and Brescia. I'm like, also bad. I took Italian. I should be better able to pronounce this. But Regina and Brescia as well, they're showing a lot of promise. I know the top three right now, it's Palermo, Brescia, and Regina. But the other two teams, they're showing a lot of promise. Just based on what I've seen. And with Coppa Italia, I think we're gonna see those three teams make it. I didn't name any of the newly relegated teams on my chopping block just because I want to believe that they're gonna stay in.
Yeah. Oh, my fault. I thought you had something else to say. That was a weird
problem. No. It's all good.
Because, all right, so I'm not going to lie. When you were talking about the newly relegated, I looked and I was like, oh, Parma. And then something registered in my head. I was like, Gigi Buffon is still at Parma? Like, when is this man going to retire?
Never. Never. I think he's going to be there forever. I don't even know. Like, it's just that Mediterranean diet, you know, the olive oil.
That man. When he came back from PSG and he went back to Juve, I was like, all right, this is it. This is swan song. And then he was like, I'm going to Parma. And I'm like, bro, hang it. It's done. Hang it up. Relax. You've done it up. So you're a legend.
Someone needs to retire like on his behalf. Like don't leave it up to him. Just like just announce his retirement on behalf of him. Even though he doesn't want to, he is, but like he is gonna retire. He is retiring.
Right. All right. We probably should. Give me your top four.
Top four. Oh, that's gonna be hard. I think it's gonna be my top four. It's I don't know who's gonna be who, but I'm gonna say it's gonna be AC Milan, Inter Milan, Roma, and Juve.
Oh, okay. Okay. That would be an interesting top four. I can tell you that should be a good tight race. Are we gonna have a tight race or is it gonna be a blow?
Oh, 100. I think it's gonna be 100% a tight race again. Like we said in the beginning, this is gonna be last year was an incredibly competitive season. I really truly feel like this is gonna be one of the most competitive seasons of Serie A that we've seen in a very long time.
Ooh, okay, all right. I love to hear it. Last day, I asked everyone this question. It is kind of interesting because not a lot of people think about it. But which European competition will be the easiest for Italian soccer to win this year? We have the Champions League, we have Europa League, and we have Europa Conference League. Which is going to be the easier competition for Italy to win?
I think based off of, I'm going to have to say the Europa Conference League, just because I know the teams. I think the teams that we have, just in terms of like the teams that we have like submitted, or the teams that are going for these particular conferences or tournaments, I feel like it's going to be Europa Conference League, just because for damn sure, I don't know if I can curse, but I'm sorry.
Yeah,
for sure, Champions League, it's going to be very difficult, I think, for any of the Italian teams currently there. I also think that Europa League is going to be very, very competitive. I can see Roma. Are they Europa League this year?
Yeah, because they won the conference last year.
I can see them doing very well in Europa League with the team that they have now. I can see them doing very well. So they could win it. I can see them winning. I can see them winning it. But overall, I think that I'm going to switch my answer. I'm going to say Europa League, just because I feel like our strongest in terms of other teams that are there. I think that Roma is one of the stronger teams in the Europa League right now. So that's my final answer.
My final answer. But I definitely rock with you that. Nicole, you've been an awesome host outside of the technical difficulties that we went through, but it's all good.
It's all good. I'm glad. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I feel like this went by so fast. I was like, dang, it's already been that long.
Right. It's going to be an awesome season. Serie A, we got a bunch of games coming up on the weekend. It's going to be an awesome season. Nicole, where can everyone reach out to you at? And do you have anything you are working on?
You can follow me on Twitter. As I'm there, chronically online. You can follow me on Twitter, XO_GlenCoco. I'm not working on anything. Just enjoying soccer and enjoying being a fan right now. I feel like it's the only thing I'm working on.
And also telling Napoli and also Hellas Verona fans, stop being racist.
Yeah, stop being racist. It's like, please, just one season without. I feel like that's a little bit too much to ask for considering the history, but just one season, maybe, please.
Might be. But with that being said, listeners, we want to say thank you guys for taking the time of your day to listen to our show. We can't do the show without you, so take a moment, subscribe. If you want to donate to the show, you can as well. We take all coins because you help us produce the show, which is not cheap. It's not cheap. So with that being said, guys, enjoy the show. We'll holler at you guys next week.